today's daf in Masechet Pesachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Yud Gimel. And I went a little bit too far last night, I'm sorry. So we got all the way down to Omer Le Rav La'evu Bre. And everything else we had finished up. So the first little section I finished. So Rav says to Ivo, his son, named after his father, Tarachi Bach B'Shmaitet Avala Mistayim Ilsa. My son, I've worked hard to make you a Talmud Chacham. It ain't ever going to happen. So let me give you some practical advice instead. And Ta Agmar Chamili Diyama. First of all, learn one thing. Fast turnaround is the secret in business. Adachala Akarech Zvinach Zabin. While the sand is still on your feet, get rid of your merchandise and turn around and go back and buy more. Kol mili zabin v'ticharat. And also, if you've got something that has a chance of losing its value, don't hold on to it. Everything that you want to hold on to and maybe make a better money, that's possible, except for things that are perishable. Bar michamra. If you've got wine to sell, you can't hold on, because the whatever price you get, be happy. Zabin v'lo techaret, don't have any regrets of what you did. Another good advice, share kisach, and then petach sakach. First, open up the cash register and get your money, then deliver the goods. Don't ever trust anybody. And just know that kaba meyara v'lokura meyigra. Better is a bird in hand than 100 in the bush. Meaning, it's always better to do business that you've got right in front of you. You know what you're getting. It may be a small profit, but if you're looking to go to the Golden of Medina to be able to make yourself, you know, a killing, you may end up on the street somewhere. Another thing I got to tell you is, Tamra b'chaluzach b'beit sudnorai. If you've got dates ready in your basket, bring them to the brewery right away, because otherwise you're going to eat them up. So don't use your own merchandise. V'yat kama, even like a tiny little bit, Omarava tlatasa, even just like a bushel, three sa'a. Omrif Papa, Papa says, let me tell you, you know, you think it's a small business, but I can tell you, if I hadn't gotten into the brewery business, the beer business, it's talking about with dates, of course, I never would have gotten rich. So I owe everything to beer. I'm very much in favor of beer, as you know. Igni Amri Omrif Chista Yilodra Maishikha Lo Yatre, and others say that that's what Rav Chista said. He also became rich brewing beer. And the brewery in Hebrew, in Aramaic, is called a sudna. So why is it that we call him a sudana? Rav Chista, that's a remez, that it's a great secret. So have your special brewing, see your recipe, it's a sudna, but it's also merames too. This, apparently there was a, because the Oruch brings, I don't know if he founded the Gemara, or he darshened it himself, that he darshened sodna as if there was an ayin in it. So sudana, meaning that it's people that can help you. So a sudana is also suadana, somebody who gives help, and therefore it's gemilut chasadim. So why is that? Because you don't need a lot of investment in the brewery business. In other words, once you've got the business going, the money that comes in is fluid. And if people who are fluid are able to give a lot of tzedakah, like this, always worried, you have to keep building up your infrastructure and you're worried about breakdowns and so on and so forth. It's a great kind of business because you got it going. Once it's going, it basically keeps on going, generates a lot of cash, and that cash can go for a lot of good things. Omer Papa, I got other advice. Call Agav Viaboy. Anything that you have to write up in a contract, the end result is you're going to have to collect. You know, people love counting that as if it's cash in hand. It's not. And until you collect it, heaven only knows. And then the same thing, Kol Ashrai, you know, so they sell on credit. Okay, great. So you sell on credit, you know, money might come in, might not come in. Safigati, safig loati. But if it does come in, you're probably going to have a problem with bad money. So maot raot nino, meaning they'll pay up little bits at a time. You're never going to be able to use the money properly. It's just going to fall between the cracks and whatever. Shor shedvorim amar Rabbi Yochanan mishum anshei Yerushalayim. Kishata yotzei lemilchama al tetzei berishona ela tetzei ba'achrona. This was really a remez for boarding airplanes if you're going to go out to that war, don't be the first one in. You'll be the first, last one out. Always go in last. That way, when you deplane, you'll be the first one out. That way, Kadesh Tikanez Brishon. What the Gemara really means is if you've got a way to be able to get back into town, you know, this is all very nice thinking about the grand war effort, but think about the other possibilities. Everybody may be turning tail and running as fast as their little feet can carry them. So you want to be the first one back into town, if you can. Don't get yourself on a charity dole only in order to be able to do better for Shabbos. Remember also that there's always the option, if you have that option, that you have enough that you're able to borrow money, you can borrow money, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises us that it'll pay you back. You could be Loveva, and he will be Mishalim, as we'll see later on. So, Atzei Shabbat Chachov, Atistarech Lebriot, means to actually get on the dole. Bahavi Mishtadel Misha, Sha'am Mesecheket Lo, as we saw before, get into business with people that are having good mazel at the time. Shloshat Varim Omer Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi Mishum Anshei Yerushalayim. First of all, Al Tarbe Beganot Mishum Ma'aseh Shaya. So, it's not a good idea to do all kinds of private things on your roof garden, on your low garden, where people can see you. Because, you know, that's what happened with David HaMelech and Bathsheba, that you never know, somebody's looking, bad things can happen. Bitcha bagra, shachrer avdecha v'teima. If your daughter has gotten to the age to get married, those days bagra meant literally, a girl got to be 12 years old, it was time for her to get married, or she might never get married. So if you have to free your slave, free your slave and marry her off to your slave. You do not want a girl, a pubescent girl, hanging around without a man. And have Yizayir b'ishtecha michatana rishon. Be careful when you get your first son-in-law. Keep your wife away from him. My time, why is that? Rav Chista says, because they get turned on together. Mishum erva. Rav Kahana says, mishum mamon. She gives away all your cash to the guy, you know, so like, Yeah, the good, sweet couple, sure, we'll get you a new car. Did you ask Dad? Nah, Dad'll be perfectly happy, you know. Just put it on the credit card. So, and the truth is, both things are true. So just watch out. Okay, because of that, it was for a long time, it was accepted to be usher, as the Gemara talks about elsewhere, it's usher to live in the same house with your in-laws because of that, not a first marriage. And, recently it became more and more acceptable because of the fact that people just don't have the money. So, okay. All right. Now, we should know that Rabbi Yochanan said that the Shlosha Minocha Leho Olam Haba, Elohim, Adar Beretz Israel, someone who lives in Eretz Israel with commitment, he can be sure that he's going to be among the Noichalim of Olam Haba. Megado banav l'tamud Torah, he raises his children to learn Torah. V'hamavdil al hayayin b'motzei Shabbatot, and he's careful to use wine for Havdalah on Motzei Shabbos. Why is that? What's it talking about? It's talking about the Mishayir Mikidush l'Havdalta. It's talking about that he simply had only a little bit of wine. He was plotting to drink that wine before, but he leaves over to have enough to be able to make Havdalah also. So because of that, that's a very special schos, to make sure that you had enough for Havdalah. Reb Yochanan, some say it's referring to Afghan, he should make Kiddush if he has to on bread in order to have his wine left over. Reb Yochanan, Shlosha Machriz Aleim HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'chol Yom, there's three people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so impressed with their tzidkes that he mamish announces, look at these guys, you know, to the Malachim, and he says they're amazing. If you got a bachelor who's living in a big town where he can get away with anything, you know, but he doesn't do anything wrong. A poor man who finds $1 million in the street, but he gives it back. And a guy who's rich and he's got an opportunity to like really show off and, you know, look at these bitzes I'm doing, and I'm giving it all away. He doesn't do it. He gives his meiser in private. So now Rav Safra was actually a Ravak who was Dar Bikrach. So he would get, wow, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu is machris on me every day. He thought he's hot stuff. So because of that, he got really happy when he heard this mimer. So somebody said in front of Tana, somebody said over Shlosha Kadosh Baruch Hu machris aleihem, and he figured that's me. So he says that in front of Rav and Rav Safra. So Rav Safra, mamish, his face is shining. Wow, that's amazing. So he figured it's referring to him. It says the Gemara, it's not referring to people like you. You want to know what kind of talk people were talking about? Ha! Oh, my Lord, Rav, you know, it's not you. We're talking about people that have serious disyanis, like Rabbi Hanina and Rav Hoshaya. They were like shoemakers. And they lived in Eretz Yisrael, and all of their business was in the red light district. So they used to sit over there. They had all these call girls. No self-respecting whore would wear anything except Reb Hanina and Reb Hoshaya brand high heels, you know. So they used to sit there, and Avdi Lamasani Lizonot, Va'ailila, who all these call girls would be coming into their shops, and they would be looking at them, trying to get them to look at them. So, Inu Mistaklibu, these guys would never look up to see who they're fitting. Inu Lomadun Inayalistakulibu. And these girls were like so blown away with the tremendous tzidkas of these men that when they would take a tshvua on something in court, they wouldn't swear on the Holy Bible. They would swear on the holy rabbis. So they would say, "B'chayehen derabbanan kaddishe de ba'ara Yisrael." That's who they looked up to. Shlosha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ohavan. There's people, three people HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves. People that never get angry, Misha Eino Ko'es, people that never get drunk, and people that are not ma'amid al midotav. They're not, okay, there's something I believe I deserve, or I don't like the way I'm being treated a particular way, and I believe I deserve better, and so on. And he's mavater. He's not emet al midaysav. Doesn't worry about himself in that way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves. And there's three kind of people HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't stand. Hamedaber echad bepeh v'echad b'lev. Somebody who says one thing with his mouth and he means something else deep inside. Hayodea edut b'chaviro. Somebody who knows Edus, he could save his friend an awful lot of money, and he doesn't want to get involved, so he refuses to say Edus for him. Or somebody who sees this guy doing something sexually wrong, and it doesn't necessarily mean only sexually, even though normally we talk about Dvar Erva, I mean sexually, but that's because that's the only thing you can, what else are you going to see? How are you going to be sure of something? You can't be sure that somebody's, you know, it looks like he's stealing money. Maybe the guy owed him money, I mean, whatever. So any normal thing that you see, you can't say clearly that he's doing wrong. So we're bringing that perhaps as an example. So somebody, but also there's another obvious reason. The other obvious reason is people love to talk about other people's sexual acts. So because of that, so he goes to tell, you know, so he's going to come along and he's going to tell the guy's Rebbe, like, there was a story where Tuvia had done something wrong, and Zigud comes to tell Rav Papa what Tuvia did, and both of them were talking to Rav Papa. So Rav Papa had Zigud tied up, and they beat him. So Zigud says, what? Tuvia is the guy who does the Averas, and Zigud is the guy who gets beaten up? How do you explain that? Amalei, absolutely. It says, lo yakum eid echad be'ish. So what are you here for? You come to talk about a guy on your own. At l'chudach asidit be, what? There's another witness here. Shemra be'alma koma fakta be. All that you're doing is you're being motzi shemra. We have no right to pay any attention to what you're saying. We only have to pay attention to the fact that you're saying it. And so, therefore, you're Chayav Malkus. Omer Shmuel Bar of Yitzchak Omer Rav, mutar l'sanoto. If you see that this person, you're not allowed to say anything about it, but if you see that this person is over without care, so then you're allowed to hate him. Because how else do you explain the posik? Ki tireh chamor sona'achar oveitz tachat masao. How could the posik say to a Ben Yisrael, if you see a donkey of someone you hate that's collapsing under its heavy load, so you're mukhuyev to help him. Azov ta'azov imo. How could the Torah say that it's okay to have somebody that you hate, as if this is an acceptable thing. I mean, what are we talking about over here? We're talking about a goy. That's not true. It says in the Brayta, the whole pasuk is not referring to a goy. It's got to be Sonei Yisrael, not a Sonei Nochri, and the mitzvah specifically in terms of a Sonei who's a Jew. El Pshita, we're talking about a Sonei who is a Jew. So then how is it mutter? Doesn't it say Lo Tisnat Achicha Bilvavecha, that you're not allowed to hate somebody? El Deika Sadi David Yisura. It must be that these are people who are unable to give edus, so that they know to be a fact, and because of that, if you're talking about that you are able to give edus, and I mean, we know, everybody knows, and there was edus, if a person refuses to do teshuvah, so then there's a mitzvah to hate. It says, after all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates someone, I hate him also. So then it's God, why is he different than anybody else? What do you mean, you hate? There's nothing personal about you. The only case has got to be a case where you couldn't say, nobody knows about it, only you know about it. And you weren't able to be made to stop him. And because of that, there's a mitzvah on you. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, yes, indeed, it's not just that you're allowed to, it's a mitzvah, l'sanoto, shenema yirat Hashem, sonot ra. That if somebody has Yirat Shamayim, so then Dafka, part of Yirat Shamayim is to be an enemy of evil. And because of that, that would be included over here. Om Ravacha Bere, the Rav al Rav Ashi. Okay, I understand that obviously you're not allowed to say something about someone, to spread bad things about him. But I mean, in this case, he went to tell his Rebbe, right? So would you be allowed to share information with the guy's Rebbe, so that his Rebbe will help him change, no? So can you do that? Omar Lay. So there's a question over here also. The Rebbe should be allowed to hate him because he needs to know who he's dealing with. So it would be lemisnaye, to hate him. Omar Lay, iyada demem el Rebbe lekibetreis. If he knows that his Rebbe will trust this guy as if he's two witnesses, so then he can tell him, lemele. But if not, he shouldn't tell him. This is actually practical. Shaila is brought to Rav Meisha in a tshuva, and he says, what is that supposed to mean? That is behemel rab mekabetre, that the guy has a cheskas kashrus, and that you know him to be an honest guy. I mean, if that's enough, so then basically, you know, you should tell anybody who trusts you. But obviously that can't be what it means, because that's exactly what the iser of saying edus obviously is referring to, someone who's perfectly trustworthy. It's still nonetheless osir to say edus yechidi. And so therefore, says Rav Moshe, it's got to be talking about not that you're relying on a cheskas kashrus, but that you actually have very long-term familiarity with the person over decades, and you know that he never says anything that is the least bit, even if it's something that is bad for him, he would never say the least bit of change in what it is that he's giving over. But certainly not stomping it. Oh, he seems to be a very reliable person, which is what people do, obviously. Ah, the guy seems very reliable. What do you mean? Why shouldn't I believe him? Tan Rabbanan. Shlosha chayehem inam chayim. There's three people whose lives are just not worth living, meaning they suffer so much they never have a minute to really live. And that's Rachmanim, Ratchanim, Vanine Hadat. There's people who care too much. So they're constantly in pain hearing about this person's tzara and that person's tzara. They don't have what to do about it. Their heart is breaking all the time. And then there's people who get very easily angry. They're always running around angry. They've always got some cause that's making them crazy. And then there's the people who are like very spoiled, and constantly something's not good, the shower is dirty, my feet got dirty, my clothes aren't, whatever it is, it's constant. Omer of Yosef, yep, I got all three of them. Imagine what my life is like. So kulo itnohubi. Tan Rabbanan, there's three groups of people that each one of those, the members of each group hate the others. And Elohim, Haklavim, dogs are constantly fighting. Tanegolim, roosters, always fighting with each other. And Achabarim, the Chabarim are those Persians that, they're not really Persians, but they're an Ummah that came from Persia. Machlokas Rashin Tos, remember we had before. V'yesh Omrim, some say Avzonot, because there's like so much competition. V'yesh Omrim, Av Talmidei Chachamim Shebebovel. Others say these modern day Talmidei Chachamim, they hate each other. In the sense of being also tremendous competition, and like the Gemara says elsewhere, the Einam B'nei Teira, right? Tana Rabbanan, Shlosha Oavim Zetze. There's also, there's like a lot of over here. We had a lot of threes, and then we move on. So we start with there are three groups that also love each other, and that means Geirim, Avadim, the Orvim. So somebody that shares something with others where they lose self-confidence. If they don't have self-confidence, then they have no choice, but they, like, love each other. Arba'a in hada'at sovaltan. There's four people that are just, people find them to be intolerable. And not only that, they themselves feel that they're pretty disgusting. Deep down. Elohim, dalge'e. So you have a person who really, he doesn't have anything behind him. You know, say he's a pauper, when it's pauper in money, if it's in money in Yonim or in other, in Das, and he's like all stuck up, and he knows everything. Ashir Mekachesh, kind of rich man, he's easily able to pay up bills that are due. These people are just awful. They're always arguing with the bill. No, it's not a good. So the bigger a millionaire he is, the more trouble he's going to make the poor guy who fixed his toilet to collect his bill. It's just absolutely horrible. So that's an Ashir Mekachesh. Then you've got a Zakein Minaev. You've got this, an old guy. He's been married for 60 years. He's hanging around with his mistress. Come on, man. Uparnas mitga'el atzibur b'chinam. And then you've got people that are put in charge of a community. And like all they can do for the community is just be arrogant. You know, they always have something arrogant to say. They're not there to help. They're there. It's like, unfortunately, pretty typical description of a bureaucrat. Parnas amid gaal atzibur b'chinam v'yesh omrim. And then there's the crazy kind of guy. He divorces his wife, then he remarries his wife, then he divorces her again, then he remarries her again. I mean, come on, bite the bullet one way or the other, you know. So somebody's megareshet ishto pam rishona v'shneo machzirah. Whereas the Tanakhama did not hold that that kind of behavior is such a turnoff, because look, I mean, the guy's trying to get rid of her, you know. It zimna det k'tuvatam ruba. I mean, sometimes it's just child support is too heavy duty and they just can't afford it. So okay, you'll remarry her. Or maybe yeshlo banimi mena. It could be that he's got kids and he's got a real bunch of problems for the children. And for the children's sake, he remarries her. So that's, you can't say that that's something that people are unable to tolerate, because people are not that close-minded that they can't think of a good reason to be melamed zchus on somebody like that. Now we got the four. Now we get the five. Chamisha dvarim tziva Kanaan et banav. There were five things that Kanaan commanded his children. Obviously, it doesn't mean literally commanded his children, but it means that it's like part, so much part of the psychology that it's as if kids are raised to be particularly this way. So it's like, ahavu zeh, take care of one another, love stealing. Whenever you get an opportunity, always steal. Ahavu et azima, love all types of deprived sex. Sinu et adonechem, if you're working for someone, hate his guts, and never, ever tell the truth. So, al tedabru emet. Shishat varim, now we're up to six. Shishat varim ne'emarim besus. Six things you got to know about horses. Ohev et aznus, horses love sex. Ohev et hamilchama, it loves fighting. Horses are stuck up. Rucho gasa. A horse is mo'eset ha'sheina. They don't seem to need very much sleep. And they like, I'm too chashuv to sleep. Ochel arbe, eats an awful lot. U'motzikima, doesn't make much of a mess with its excrement. Ve'yesh omrim, af mevakesh la'arog ba'alav milchama. And there are some who say that it always is trying to get its master killed in war. That doesn't mean literally, but it means it always finds reasons to do something that it's not supposed to be doing, like getting turned on to some female horse in a war and going in the wrong direction, or stuff like that. So for all intents and purposes, the guy who's driving the horse feels it's out to get him. That was six. Now we've got seven. Seven people are menudim l'shamayim. It's as if in the shamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has cut them out. Elohim, Yehudi she'ein lo isha. So somebody who doesn't have a wife or has a wife, she'yesh lo isha. So it's just talking about he is specifically has made a real decision. He doesn't want to get married. Doesn't mean he's having a hard time finding a wife or he's in a place where the people aren't. I mean, this is all brought l'halacha. He's in a place where there aren't the type of people that are suitable for him and so on. That's not what it's referring to. Yesh lo isha ve'en lo banim, where somebody who has a wife but purposefully doesn't have any children. Mishi yesh lo banim, or he has children, but he doesn't bring them to learn Torah. Ein gadlan talmud Torah. Mishi ein lo tefillin brosho ve'tefillin bizro'o. Somebody who doesn't put on tefillin. Tosis points out that even though there are people that avoid putting on tefillin because of the tremendous chumrah of you have to have guf naki, keli shabak dafayim, and they don't feel that they're able to control their thoughts or their bodies so perfectly. But as Tosis says, listen, it doesn't mean over here you have to be wearing tefillin all day and all night. It means you should have your tefillin on your for kriyat shema, you know. So at least it shouldn't be meyedei to sheker al atzmo. So that much anybody can manage to have your tefillin on for a few minutes. And that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really very upset about it. As if he puts him into cherem. Somebody who doesn't have a mezuzah al pitcho. Somebody who's monea min aliyah miraglav. He's such a hippie. Absolutely refuses to wear shoes. And some say, af mi she'eino meisav b'chabura shel mitzvah. So people have gathered together for a mitzvah. So let's say they're at a bris, or they're at a chatzna of a proper person, and he doesn't want to participate in that kind of thing, even though there's no grounds for not participating, because the people, the simcha is a true simcha, and the people are good people. Okay, again, I mean, the Rishonim raised the question about, you know, Nikiyei Hadas, Birushalayim, they don't go to affairs. Affairs, how do you know who you're sitting next to? You're going to put you down with people that it's inappropriate. That's something else. But here it's talking about stam, that you choose to do other things and not to show people that you're participating with their moment of simcha in a mitzvah. Amar Rabba Bar Bachanam, Reb Shmuel Bar Marta, Amar Rab, Mishum Reb Yossi, Ishu Tzal. Minayin she'ein shalim b'chaldiyim. How do we know that there's an iser to ask chaldiyim? These are like to look up your astrology chart, is the way that most understand it. Shenemar tamim tiyem Hashem Elokecha. These kind of things you're not supposed to be Osik. And again, remember the big Machlokas, the Rambam and Rashi, many of the other Rishonim, in which tamim tiyem Hashem Elokecha, according to Rashi, means don't worry about the future. And accept. So go bitmimut. So why would you want to find out about the future? The Rambam doesn't learn that pshat at all, because the Rambam learns that the whole point of Navi Akimi Kirbecha Kamoni is that I will let you know what you need to know for the future, but you need to go to a Navi and not to an astrologer. So he understands, Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha doesn't mean don't be concerned about the future. It means be concerned about a holistic vision of life. Tamim Tiyem means that the way in which your mind works, that's the Chochmah, Tmimah, the way in which your mind works has to be consistent. You have to have not just all types of absurd beliefs that you have no reason to believe, but you have to have a holistic vision of life, which is basically a scientific approach to life, in which things end up making sense. Not that you have beliefs. Beliefs are magical thinking. And that's what it means. So, tamim tiyem Hashem Elokecha means don't be osek with things that are not part of any type of reasonable system, and therefore are not part of rationality, and are off limits for people, as the Rambam puts it, eino roi lo Yisrael, chachamim, chukamim, to be osek in nonsense. Minayin, b'hayodeh b'chavirosu, gadol mimenu afilu b'davar echad, chayav linhog bo kavod. Now, how do you know that if a friend is greater than you, even in one thing? Not that he's taught you one thing, that's a different issue, as Tosis points out. He just knows something that you don't know. You are mechuyev to give him kavod, as if he is a rav. Because it says, kol kabel, the Ruach Yetira be, Umalka Ashita Hakamuta Alko Malchuta, because of this little extra that was in him. So because of that, they appointed Daniel over, doesn't say he was like perfect and everything, but because he had that extra Chochmah in him, so he was appointed over the entire kingdom. Okay, so you see, because of that, you have to, even if it's for one thing, you have to respect that. Kol Shekein, we know from David HaMelech, who learned from Achitophel, only two things, and he would call him Rabbi, Miyudai, and not just respect for a Talmud Chacham, but he would give him kavod even as a Rav. V'ha-yoshevet al-dam tohar, another one of the things that he said in the name of Rav, the center of Yosef, that ha-yoshevet al-dam tohar asura l'shamesh, a woman who is keeping Yimei Tahara, and therefore, even if she's Raya Dam, she's allowed to continue to sleep with her husband, after the Yimei Tohar ends, do not sleep with her right away. Why is that? Because she's gotten used to the idea of not having to worry about a Riyaz Dam. So she like thinks she's still the Yimei Tohar. So because of that, the Rabbanan said, stay away from her until she gets back into her stam nidos. So at kama, how much time do you need to give her for that? Amarav ona, you give her one ona, 12 hours, and that is enough for her to psychologically convert. Tana, hu Yosef ish hutzal, and hu Yosef abavli. There's also, we're talking about Rav Yosef, people have different ways of being identified. So Yosef ish hutzal is, as sometimes called, is also the Rav Yosef that we know as Yosef HaBavli. Isi ben Gur Aryeh is the same person that is Isi ben Yehuda. And that's the same person as Isi ben Gamliel. And that's the same person as Isi ben Mahalalel. Now, I bet you don't know what his real name is, right? His real name is Isi ben Akavia. Fine. Okay, all types of issues, Lemaisa. You know, some give very down-to-earth descriptions, that this is similar to that what we have in our times, or anyway, right after the war, where people had a lot of different names. The reason they had different names, of course, is because they kept changing their passports. They had phony passports, so they had a lot of funny names. So this is for people who were needed to escape or needed to cross boundaries and so on. But then we see elsewhere that the person himself utilizes these names as an indication of the godless and the chashivas that are in him. Who Rabbi Yitzchak ben Tavla, and who Rabbi Yitzchak ben Chakla, you should know that there's also someone else, who is Rabbi Yitzchak ben Tavla, ben Chalka, and also known as Rabbi Yitzchak ben Iloa. And this is Rabbi Yitzchak ben Acha, if you're talking about Shmaitzitza. So oftentimes, if you have a Rabbi Yitzchak and it's Nogea la Halacha, so that is Rabbi Yitzchak ben Acha in Halacha, but in Haggadah, where we quote him, it's the same Rabbi Yitzchak, if we just say Rabbi Yitzchak, but it's referring to someone else. It's referring to Rabbi Yitzchak ben Pinchas in terms of Agadata. And the way to remember who's who is Shimanecha, is the Pasuk Shimuni Achai Verei'ai. So Shimuni is Shmaitita, and Shmaitita, it says of your Achai. So your simon is Rabbi Yitzchak ben Acha. Omer Rabba bar Bachanam, Rabbi Yochan, Mishmedu, Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Eloi, Echo batzel, v'shev batzel. Eat batzel, meaning eat onions, and sit calmly in the shade of your own bedroom, because there's nobody going to be busting down your door to collect bills if you have a very simple lifestyle. So, you know, if all you need to eat is some onions with a little bit of bread, you're not going to incur any big debts. But don't get into the habit of eating avazim, v'tarnegolim, v'yeli b'charo defalech. And this way you're going to have a habit of getting a lot of expenses. And that's going to get you into more and more trouble. And then you're not going to be able to sleep in your bedroom because you're going to have the phone ringing from creditors all the time. B'chot mimechlach, always cut down your food and we mishtach, and from your drink. So don't buy expensive food, expensive wine, and better to be tosif al diratach, use that money to make your home more valuable. Of course, the Bali Musar talk about this as referring to your real home, referring to your Olam Haba. So invest your efforts in Olam Haba and not in your passing comforts in Olam Hazeh. When Ula, Ki Ata Ula, when Ula came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, back in Eretz Yisrael, Matla Matlim B'Maharava. They always say this cute little marshal, Da'achil Aliyata Tarshi Ba'alita. Somebody who always eats the alya, which is the best part of it, that's like the fatty meat of the tail, he's going to end up hiding up in his attic. It's a play on words of ayata and aliyata, because he's going to have to be hiding from all of his creditors since he's got such big bills. The alko kakuli, and somebody who learns to survive on veggies, akikle de mata shachi, a guy like that can be fast asleep right in the city dump, meaning a place where everybody comes all the time to dump their garbage. And he's the first thing that people see out on the bench feeding the pigeons. And nobody's got any tinies against him because he doesn't have any debts. Okay, gentlemen, it brings us up to the Mishnah. Now we can get back to the Seder Shel Pesach. There were a couple of issues. I think actually it was one main issue that we had yesterday. And that was the question of putting food underneath your bed. So putting food underneath your bed is a serious issue. Because even though we talk about it over here in terms of Ruach Ra, Sheira Aleha, remember that we're very makbid on Ruach Ra, and there's many people everybody asks is doing this lechatila. And the question is, where does it obtain? And also, what happens if you do such a thing, bidi avad, like you didn't know you kept stuff under your bed, and so on. So first of all, there's a question of whether things are sealed with a seal. In other words, it says over here, even if the box is closed. So there's a question, whether it's chatimi vitsairi. How about if it's actually sealed, like a wine bottle that's got a seal in it to prevent it from being opened as a stamienam and so on? That's a question. There are those who are much more makil. There are other questions that are based on the Lashon of the Yerushalmi, which the Rambam quotes. So he talks about not foods, not ma'achal u'mishta, but rather tafshiling. That's the Lashon of the Yerushalmi, is tafshila. So many want to be medayik from that the only ochlin that we're referring to are ochlin that are not naturally like fruits or something like that. There would be no problem of keeping a fruit box underneath your bed or your onions and stuff like that. Only things that have been prepared over there were chayshish for ruach ra. So some, since Rambam brings out lashon, some are actually makel on things like fruits. Others taina that the idea of under your bed is dafka a bed and not stam. If a person is asleep on a chair or something like that, it isn't asleep per se the way we explained it yesterday, but there's really an inyan in which a bed is miyuchad for sleep, and because of that, it's more chomer. There's others who say the only isser applies if it's actually on the ground. But the moment that you separate between the ground, as we have in modern houses, well, over there you have a floor, and very often you're not even on a ground floor. So there's all types of material between you and the ground. So over there, maybe a ruach ra'a is not shira at all. So some are mako because of that. Some take it even to the point where it just is tiled, even if it is a ground floor. But it's tiled, then it's not considered to be actually on the floor. Everybody is mako when it comes to not being on even a normal floor. In other words, nobody says that I know of that because food is transported by air and people are asleep in the plane above the cargo, that is going to make the food on the bottom usher because of ruach ra. Or same thing about, of course, obviously most of the issues came up about boats. So over there, you would often have a cargo boat and it has people that are sleeping upstairs. So the question is the cargo in a cargo boat considered to be affected by a ruach ra to those who are makbid on it afilu b'diavad? The answer is no. In any event, even though the gra is reported to have been machmir, there are other talmidei agra that say the gra was only machmir for himself. He was not machmir on others. And there are a great many poskim who are makel in the event that any of these issues that we mentioned are applicable, particularly if you're dealing with a hefsed merubah. So if there's a loss that is a significant loss, so then they're not makbid b'diavad if the floor was tiled. Or whatever. So if you have any of those things that we spoke about, so then you can actually get away with using it. And some, even the Chazon Ish said, even if you want to be makbid, you can be makbid not to use it, but don't be makbid to throw it out and to be over on Baal Tashlis and give it away to the poor. And they'll be happy to have it without your chumras. So it would not be a problem, b'diavad, in cases like that. But definitely, it's something that people should watch out for. Many people are really not, like, they're not aware of. You know, so they'll store, like, tuna fish cans and stuff like that. That was the question of whether it's sealed in that fashion, whether it's still chal. So that was one of the possible coolas that we had.